Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preach this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Our Father.
Our Father, hallowed be thy name.
Our Father,
who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Hágase tu voluntad así en la tierra como en el cielo.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
Deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
And the power.
And the glory.
Por siempre. Amén.
Amen.
Amen.
That audio that you just heard was a collection of people, a part of our church, that got a text from me earlier this week and said, hey, would you send me a voice memo of you saying the Lord's Prayer? And something that stood out to me is that even though I didn't say, would you whisper it real quiet into the microphone, every single person that sent me it was in a whisper. Save for Michelle Manzi, who doesn't come in whisper. And it was so good to hear those prayers. We're starting a new series called People of Prayer, where we're looking at the Lord's Prayer from different angles every week. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer in different ways. And you may have seen our staff has made a beautiful prayer wall over there. And later on in worship, the post-it notes that are at or near your seat are going to come into play. So just be ready. We're going to be using those, and we're going to be putting them up on our prayer wall. At our chapel campus, we have a kneeling rail, and so we put them all over the kneeling rail. By the end of worship, it was a multicolored kneeling rail. It was really quite a beautiful testament for us to see. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Prayer is a mystical union between all of us with all of the Trinity, all of God. We pray to God the Father through the Holy Spirit in the words that Jesus taught us. In a data-driven and concrete world, prayer remains one of the last mystical things. Prayer happens in some of the oddest places. Periodically, I get invited to go to city council meetings to pray before the meeting begins. I walk up and I invoke God's name into a space, and then right afterwards, they start talking about stop signs. It just seems kind of like a weird sort of juxtaposition between the mystical and the normal, the simple things. But just because prayer is mystical doesn't mean it needs to be mysterious. Through this series, I hope we all grow in confidence in our prayers and begin to see those prayers come to life. My hope and my prayer is that by the end of this series, we will see prayer as a normal expression of our lives and not some odd sort of thing that requires a certain posture, a certain thee and thou of it all, but rather a normal outpouring of our spiritual lives. The thing I'm going to say a lot today, I'll say it over and over again. I hope it gets stuck in your head. You can write this in your church center app or paper notes if you would like, but it's this. May our prayers be as faithful as our actions. May our prayers be as faithful as our actions. Our passage today comes from Matthew chapter 6. This will be our passage for the rest of the series. We're going to be looking at this passage again and again through different lenses and different faces of the prism as we understand and seek to know the Lord's Prayer in a new way. Here at Shepherd's, we have a tradition where we will read God's word. The reader will say, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Then all of you will say, thanks be to God. But we like to add a little extra oomph on the end, so we add the word woo. So be ready with your woo. All right, hear the word of the Lord. Pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey friends, it's Pastor Michael. We are just so grateful for every last one of you that listens to the It's Better When You're Here podcast. We are so excited that we get to share in this work of ministry and the messages that are preached every week at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church. We wanted to give you an opportunity. If you want to be a part of what God is doing here at Shepherd's here in Central Florida, and you would like to give, you can go to shepherdsumc.com/give. And you can find a way to give that way. Any support really helps us produce this podcast, but also helps us love our neighborhood around the world very, very well. So thank you for tuning in, and now back to the podcast.
Very good. So this passage begins with curiosity. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. How do we pray? This is a question that I receive often as a pastor, but usually that question is not asked outright. Instead, it's a confession oftentimes. Maybe I'll be in a meeting and I'll ask someone to pray before the meeting begins, and the look on their face is as if I've just asked them to sing all parts to a harmony of some Les Mis song or something. We asked for a song and dance number. And I think some of the people around the table would prefer a song and dance number over and against praying in front of their friends. Prayer becomes this sort of thing that feels very important, and it is, friends, but also this thing that you can fail, which it isn't. Prayer is something that is born of curiosity. A life of faith should be born of curiosity. And when they asked how to pray, Jesus brought it back to basics. When they asked Jesus, how do we pray? Teach us how to pray. We want to pray like you do. We want to pray like John taught his disciples. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. Jesus took it right down to the basics. Prayer is not a complicated incantation that you got to get right. There's no some sort of magical formula that one has to meet in order for a prayer to count. You know, as a pastor, there are some times where I've got lines that I've got to follow. Someone pointed out that it might be hard to see that screen because of these lights, and they said, maybe you should shut that screen off. And I was like, well, I need to see that screen so that I know the liturgy to communion. Because have I been doing this every single Sunday for the last 5 years? Yes. Have I memorized it? No. No, I have not. I have until it's gone, until the screen is gone, and then I'm like, I pledge allegiance to the, no. And so we need to see those things. Those incantations are present in our lives. I did a wedding a while ago for friends of mine, and we were in a church that had a handheld mic. I don't know if you can tell, but I talk with my hands, so I can't have a handheld mic. So I was already struggling just a little bit. But in the liturgy that I like to do, I like to put the rings on my book, and then I pray a prayer of blessing over these rings. You know, so this is an outward sign of an inward grace, a little prayer. It's not a magic trick, but it's a prayer that I pray over them. So I put them on the book. I've got a handheld mic. I'm already a little uncomfortable. And I go to move the book, and of course the rings start to slide, and I go to catch them like this, and I go, oh crap, you know, which I can say under my breath. It's allowed. My mom said it's okay. But unfortunately, this handheld mic was in this hand, and this was here, and so I went, oh crap, like a 90s DJ in a church. You're really not supposed to do that. So if you're a pastor, yes, there's some incantations. You want to get the words right. Oh crap is not in most wedding liturgies. I haven't checked all of them. But anyways, I digress. Prayer is not a complicated incantation. Prayer, friends, prayer is a conversation between you and God. It's a prayer between us and God. There is not one story that my kid could tell me that I wouldn't find deeply fascinating. You know, when your kiddos first learn how to talk, they sure do use that a lot, don't they? I remember when I was a kid, we would be going on long road trips, and my parents would tell me that we would get there faster if I closed my eyes and went to sleep. With hindsight, I realized they were like, oh no, this boy doesn't stop talking, right? I then got told, I probably shouldn't tell this, but I can, that I got car sick. And I was like, I don't think I got car sick. And so they gave me Dramamine. Because I guess they didn't have Quaaludes. But they're like, you know, just take the term, I mean. And then I would, you know, all of a sudden I'd close my eyes and we would get there. Some things never change. But the conversation of a child to a parent is something that is so deeply sacred and lovely. We want to hear from our kids. The conversation, prayer, is a conversation of us to our heavenly parent. There is nothing that you can say that God does not want to hear. God just wants to hear from you. So when we pray, there's no wrong way to do it. God is just happy that we called. And may our prayers be as faithful as our actions. But Jesus gave us movements, gave us ways to follow so that our prayers aren't something that we feel we have to stumble through, but rather there are some guideposts, some movements that help us know that we're doing it well. People that are excellent dancers say that they are excellent dancers because they move with the music. And those that are not good dancers also try to move with the music and they do it poorly. And so sometimes you need to hear the cha-cha slide, all right? The Cupid shuffle is there for all of us that need a little instruction. May the Lord's Prayer be the Cupid shuffle of your life is a thing I didn't put in my notes, but I hope you remember forever and always. May our prayers be as faithful as our actions. And cha-cha real smooth. So the movements are, when Jesus teaches us to pray, it's in three movements. The very first one is this: acknowledging who God is. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. Acknowledging who God is. The second movement is acknowledging who we are. Give us the bread that we need today. It acknowledges how finite and, friends, how fragile we can sometimes be. I don't really like acknowledging my own mortality. I don't really like acknowledging that this, you know, meat suit that I'm in requires bread. It requires sleep, requires water, requires all these different things in order to carry my soul around. But when I go to prayer and ask God, can I just have enough bread for the day? It acknowledges who I am in my mortality and in my finiteness. And then, this is beautiful, such an important movement that the church often forgets. We'll get back to this in just a moment, but it's this: acknowledging how things could be right now. So it's not just acknowledging, thy kingdom come, but it's also thy will be done where on earth as it is in heaven. We want God's kingdom here and now. This is not prescriptive. You don't have to say the Lord's Prayer every single day, but the Lord's Prayer are the movements that help us know what prayer can be. And may our prayers be as faithful as our actions. God's holiness is about God being greater than everything that we see. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When we say those words, we look around at the world around us and we realize that some things just aren't holy. Everyone say holy. Holy, holy is a word that simply means set apart. We talked a little bit about this last week, but this table here, I think was like bought at a Pier 1 or a Pottery Barn like a long time ago, and it is about to break. Don't bump into this table. By God's grace, we will get a new table at some point, but like these legs is broken, all right? So don't bump into it. But this is a table that we set apart. If we wanted to play a game of Clue as a church family, I don't know why we would not use this table. This is set apart. This is our communion table. You might see that sometimes when I come up here, I'll put my coffee on this table. I try to get it off as soon as I can because this is not a coffee table. This is our altar. This is a set apart. This is holy. Now, this doesn't mean that this was, you know, brought down from heaven. Again, a Pottery Barn, maybe. And this will get replaced at some point. It doesn't mean that this is some sort of magical table, but instead it means that we have set it apart. When we call God holy, we acknowledge that this God that we pray to is outside of everything that we see, that the world around us and God are not the same, that God is set apart and holy. And also, this is so important, when we speak of God's holiness, we also speak of how a holy God wants to know us, that the God of the universe wants to know us, that the God of the universe, creator of all that we see around us, is desperately interested in the things that we whisper in prayer, that the God of the universe wants to know how things are going with that annoying coworker, that the God of the universe wants to know how things are going with our tax return. The God of the universe is interested in the thing that bothers you, the thing that keeps you up at night, the reason why you can't get a good night's sleep. The God of the universe cares and wants to know. When we pray and tell God that God is holy, we are acknowledging that nothing can separate us from God's love. When we call God holy, when we pray to God, we acknowledge that there is nothing that can separate us from this love. May our prayers be as faithful as our actions. I told you we would come back to this. We wanted to talk about it more. The third movement is acknowledging how things could be. For so long, the church has been about what happens after you die. This is sort of like fire insurance. You know, I go to church so that when I die, I get to go to the good place and not the bad place. I get to go to the place that has the good ice cream and not the place that's on fire all the time, right? That's what faith has been for so very long. But if you look at the scriptures, if you look at how Jesus teaches us to pray, it's that God's kingdom comes down to earth as it is in heaven. That truly what Jesus is telling us is not to pray that we die sometime soon, that this planet that we're on, this earth that we're a part of, this neighborhood that we all live in is not some sort of terrible waiting line for the good part. That we're not in some sort of waiting room for the good part. It's not that we are, you know, in line at Ratatouille and the line is now 120 minutes as opposed to 90 when we got in the line, right? That's not what existence is. Jesus tells us that we want God's kingdom to come down here, that we want heaven here in this place, not just up there. That our faith is not for something that happens after we take our last breath. It's for when we take this breath now as well. We talk about the kingdom because we see what happens with people in charge. Do you understand that when you pray for God's kingdom to come down, you're praying that our current way of life changes and shifts, that the people in power, the systems and structures in power would shift and change? You can't really have a kingdom if you've got something else calling the shots. We're calling for something else. And we talk about the kingdom because what we see on the news, what we see in our neighborhood, just ain't it. It's just not what the best it could be. It's this belief that the way things are not the way that they must be, that these things can shift, that they can change, and by God's grace, that God's kingdom can come down and dwell among us. We acknowledge God's sovereignty because it frees us from the myth of self-reliance. We acknowledge God's sovereignty, that God is in control, that God is the king that we want to see rule in our lives and in our neighborhoods, because it saves us from the myth of self-reliance. It is such a common understanding that self-reliance is the only thing that we can trust, that it's our own bootstraps that will pull us up, that we are on our own, that we are individuals trying our best to survive. The Lord's Prayer teaches us that we're in this together, and that the kingdom is coming, that the way things are not the way that they will always be. And friends, may our prayers be as faithful as our actions. But to believe in God's sovereignty means to let go of our own sovereignty. Sovereignty is this belief that we're in charge, that we're in control, that we know what's best, that we're on our own, that we are in charge of our lives. When we acknowledge God's sovereignty, we let go of our own. There's this great passage that describes this. It's in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation is a book of the Bible that is quite confusing, has a lot of imagery. It's very Semitic in its storytelling. Some of it is a lot of letters written to particular churches in particular places. Some of it is written in apocalyptic language, not like apocalypse, but apocalyptic, meaning it's like I know this might sound strange. It's almost like a political cartoon. Like it's made to make fun of the people in power in a secret way so that you don't get your head removed from your shoulders. And a lot of Americans took that and was like, what if this was about the future? And then they turned it into a book series called Left Behind. And none of those are biblical. Just in case you lost sleep as a teenager reading Left Behind books, just know, be freed. None of those are biblical, okay? I cried a lot when I read those books. Okay, I'm a crier. But Revelation also does have glimpses into the future. It talks about heaven, talks about what happens when all of this goes back in the box and God's kingdom comes and dwells among us. This is what this passage is. It says this, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne who lives forever and always, the 24 elders fall before the one seated on the throne. They worship the one who lives forever and always. They throw down their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power because you created all things. It is by your will that they existed and were created. So in this passage, it shows us a glimpse of heaven. Don't worry about the living creatures. If you want to know what those are, buy me a cup of coffee and I'll explain it to you. But the 24 elders, I want you to look at this image. This is an image, this is a symbol of human institutions and governments, structures, neighborhoods, the things that we have to help control us and guide us as human beings, the things that are in power right now, those are the 24 elders. And it's very clear, St. John in this revelation says that in heaven, all of those leaders will see God's sovereignty in fullness and throw their crowns down. I think that I wear a couple crowns that I need to get rid of. I think I carry crowns in my relationships. I think that I'm in charge of what other people think about me. I think that I'm in charge about how the people that I love feel. I think I'm in charge, sometimes, I think I'm in charge of the global economy. I sure do worry about it as if I'm the one in charge. I think I wear a crown about my local and global politics. I wear a crown when I think I have so much more control than I actually do. I wear so many crowns, and y'all, my neck is tired because I'm not very good at wearing crowns. If you look at the very early parts of the Bible in Genesis, you see that Adam and Eve are in the garden. And essentially the rules are, hey, don't eat from that tree and just be like so happy. And Adam and Eve are like, got it, eat from the tree, got it, cool. And so they go and they eat from this tree because God tells them not to do that. And they go, but actually I'm in charge. They put a crown on their head and it goes poorly, right? And then that's the story of humanity from then on out. God says, hey, I'm actually in charge. And then human beings take that crown, they put it on their head, and it goes poorly. All of a sudden, we realize that our own sovereignty is not leading to the kingdom of God. It's leading to loneliness and isolation and hunger and war and suffering. And so in this passage, we see that ultimately, we will all lay our crowns down. But today, I wondered what it would look like for all of us to acknowledge some of the crowns that we need to put down. For me, what I'm going to be putting down is other people's opinion of me. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take one of these post-it notes and I'm going to write down what other people think of me. Because that's the crown that I need to put down. And in just a moment, Michelle's gonna come and play just a little bit of music, and I'm gonna invite you to do the same. I want you to write down the crowns that you need to put down. Maybe there's a relationship that you think you're in charge of fixing. Maybe there's a sobriety of someone else that you think you're actually in charge of. Maybe the politics of this world are something that you fret over as if you were on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Maybe there are things you are trying to control and it is making you miserable. Maybe you can put that crown down today. So I have a little bit more sermon to go after this. This is very different than we normally do. I'm going to have Michelle play for a little bit. I want you to think about what you can put down, this crown that you can put down. Write it on a post-it note, and then you're going to walk over to that prayer wall, and you're going to put your burden down. How can you let go of sovereignty today? What sovereignty do we need to give up? What thing can you let go of? What does the kingdom need to step in on? Because all of us are carrying crowns today, and all of us can put them down. So in this time, we'll just be listening to music, we'll be writing down, and the bravest among us will be the first to walk over to the prayer wall. And then, the gold star will be the last one as well. But we'll take some time to reflect, we'll put them on the wall, and then we'll come back together in just a moment. As we enter into this time, let me pray for us. Our Almighty, come and reign in us. Amen. This prayer wall is going to be up for the rest of the series, so if you didn't have a chance to put your crown down there, you can do that at any point. Maybe after we receive communion, feel free to do exactly that. When we let go of our crowns, it's an acknowledgement that what we are carrying is not ours to carry, that someone else can be in charge. And that someone happens to be the God of the universe that is desperate to hear from you. But I've been saying again and again, may our prayers be as faithful as our actions. That's what I've been saying. And now I'm telling you to put some things down. I feel like I'm telling you two different things. But really, truly, my friends, I wonder if the action that we think that we're called to do is to be in charge when actually we're called to be faithful. That though I think I'm in charge of the global economy, maybe what I'm actually in charge of is being a good steward of what God has given to me. That instead of feeling as if I'm in charge of the global economy, I could just be generous and thoughtful in the way that I spend the money that I earn. And maybe, I think that I'm in charge of how other people feel about me. Maybe I can be in charge of how I live in front of others. I think that I'm in charge of whether or not the people I love are happy. Maybe I can just make sure that I'm the happiest version of myself and help others feel that same way. Our actions can be faithful even when we let go of our own sovereignty. So, two ways I want you to put this into action, two simple actions that I want you to have this week that'll help you put this sermon into play, not just hear it once, but actually live it out in your lives. The first is, as a church community, I want us to pray the Lord's Prayer every day at 10:45. I have 9 on there because of the chapel campus. You could pray at 9 as well. At 10:45, take a moment, take a breath, and pray the Lord's Prayer. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. If you are so busy that you can't take 30 seconds to pray the Lord's Prayer, get a new job. That seems really terrible. But if truly you can't, be a couple minutes late. But I think as we as a church community pray together, we will begin to see the power of the Lord's Prayer. It's funny, depending on what tradition you were raised in, or if you weren't raised in the church at all, you might have a different version of the Lord's Prayer. Debts, debtors, trespasses, trespassers, sins. And then if you were raised Catholic, you hear all the Protestants say, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And you're like, there's more? And you go to Mass as a Protestant, you're like, whoa, there's not more. I'm sorry, Father, my bad. And there's different prayers. I don't care how you pray, but at 10:45, put it in your phone. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. As someone who received 8 recordings of the Lord's Prayer this week, I'll tell you, about 30 seconds long. Take a moment and do that. And then the second thing, this is a little bit harder to do. I want you to remember what you have let go of today. Remember what crown you have placed at the feet of Jesus. Remember what sovereignty you have released so that you can feel the kingdom of God show up, and that your actions can become faithful. And may our prayers be as faithful as our actions. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. Be blessed.